Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
New streaming service comes next year called Discovery Plus. Exclusive originals, some of your favorite brands like HDTV. I used to be addicted to HDTV. And then you got all the, now there's just more options. I started watching something last night, real life drama about it. I can't get into it. It's so good. I love true crime. I could watch.
You watch a lot of really dark stuff.
I do.
I can't do that.
That's all
I
watch.
The world is dark enough. I just want to sit down and watch like Schitt's Creek or The Office or, you know, something light.
You're like Anne. She likes joyful, uplifting stuff.
Yeah, because my mind is already too dark on a consistent basis. I needed just a little escape.
Oh, seriously. Everything I watch has a terrible ending.
You watch the darkest stuff.
It's amazing. I come to work in a good mood. I just watch mayhem all the time. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the NFL, a Super Bowl pro bowler as well, is joining me live. So it's no secret that Aaron Rodgers has it out for me. I'm a big enough man to handle it. But I will say this. I would give him the MVP. I don't think it's particularly close. And my theory is the media butchers this award. It's most valuable. Okay. Andy Reid is such a brilliant, and it's nothing against Matt LaFleur. I believe Andy could go 6-10 or 7-9 with this roster. I think Green Bay is a 4-win team without Aaron. So to me, Aaron is absolutely, this is the LeBron argument. So I don't care about Westbrook's stats. Valuable LeBron and Aaron Rodgers. So your thought about Aaron's year and the award itself and if he deserves it.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you just said. And that's been my argument all along is the pieces and the personnel that surrounds both of these candidates. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, you have so many skill guys around him. You have two of the top five leading receivers in all of football and a tight end, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill on his roster. And we haven't even gone beyond them yet. And you look at the others, they're just so much better than what the Green Bay Packers have surrounded Aaron Rodgers with. And now you bring up the head coaches who are both offensive play callers. I understand Bieniemy and what he does, but let's be real. Andy Reid is the mind behind a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so is Matt LaFleur. And when you pull these two coaches away from these guys, it's like, okay, yes, can they still have success with who was ever backing them up? You look at Alex Smith and the success Andy Reid was able to have before Pat Mahomes ever took over. Like, they were already built for this. And so Aaron Rodgers, he even said it, when you take the acronym of MVP, you remove Aaron Rodgers from this Green Bay Packers team. We are not talking about them. They are not making the playoffs. This is no slight on Matt LaFleur, but what they have built is tailor-made for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and he has grown accustomed to taking and bearing on that weight and allowing them to still have successful seasons.
People pay a lot of attention, and I think this is probably the right thing to do, but we tend to give the Packers or the Saints or the Patriots with Brady or the Steelers a benefit of the doubt if late in the year they play a bad game or things aren't clicking, because we trust the structure, kind of the formidable kind of architecture of the organization. But I don't think Pittsburgh, that offense is not a playoff offense. They can't run. They're awful on third down. They don't throw it deep. It is so it's not efficient and it's not dynamic. So I do think the one playoff team I look at and I think I would panic a little is Pittsburgh. But you played for a team in Green Bay, and go back to your career. Was there a year that you unraveled a little late and you deep down knew it, but there's a sense that you were the Packers and you were okay? Your own career, because I look at Pittsburgh today and I think the only reason we're not saying this team's not very good is because of the brand, the Steelers.
Yeah, it was the year we went 15-1. The year following the Super Bowl, we were on a great run up until we ran into the Kansas City Chiefs, a game we should have won and we lost. And then after that, things just started to unravel. You started to see a little bit more of the flaws that we had that we were overcoming early, and we still overcame. But we knew going into the playoffs, if we weren't able to fix or rid ourselves of them, they would become our Achilles heel. And it was. The New York Giants beat us because we weren't sound offensively on all running the football and throwing the football. And then specifically defensively, we were not able to stop other opponents from making the big plays. But when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this is why I don't panic for them, when you look at them, the way that they are built, they create so many turnovers and get the ball back to that offense that can score points. They just do it differently. And they can put up a scare to a defense, but they do it differently. They don't do it the old traditional Pittsburgh Steelers way. And I think that's what's kind of alarming to so many of us. And we're not seeing Ben Roethlisberger throw for 300-400 yards a game. And the receivers, they have dropped so many balls. But if you don't rid yourself of those ailing things, those drops, those unsustained drives, getting the ball in the end zone when you have goal to go, when you're in the red zone, you are going to falter in the playoffs. However, I like this team because they possess the ball, they play keep away, and then they have a defense that can get after the quarterback and apply pressure, not just sack the quarterback, but get after him with pressure, and they can get the ball back into the hands of their offense to give them more opportunities.
So an interesting team is, and this happens every year, there's these teams that go into the playoffs, you know, the Green Bays, we know who they are, the teams that are there. You know, we're going to see Rams over the next 5 years mostly be a playoff team. And then you get these teams that have a bad history, like a Cleveland Brown, but they right the ship at least momentarily. And then you get to the playoffs, and you see this in the NBA, and you see it in the NFL. Playoff football is just different. And I imagine over the course of your career, when Green Bay went to the playoffs, you often had a bye, or you'd play a lower-seeded playoff team, and they were a little bit of an upstart. This was new territory for them. And I feel that with Cleveland, like they're going to end up playing like a Baltimore or somebody, and they're just going to be a little over their skis. Go back to your career. Can you see it in the eyes when you would face that upstart team, and that they may have puffed their chest, but deep down late in games, you could sense they'd not been here before and they weren't terribly comfortable in that space?
Yeah, in the Cleveland Browns, they fit that description. I like so much about the Cleveland Browns, but understanding how this game works, it looks really good in the regular season up until you get into the postseason, because all things that you've done earlier in the regular season, they count for nothing. Teams scheme you differently. The intensity level intensifies. All of these things come into play that a team who has not been there in decades, they have no experience, including their coaching staff. Like, they don't have that experience. I mean, Kevin Stefanski, I understand he was with the Vikings, so he's been around it. He understands it, but he hasn't gotten to where they wanted to be. And when you look at a team like this, it's those reps. It's that experience, Colin, that gives you that confidence to say this Cleveland Browns team can make some hay in the postseason. I like them because their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, is playing better down the stretch. And he's a wild card. If he plays great, this team can make some hay. If he does not, then it's all for naught.
Bears-Vikings, you're calling the game, so I'm not going to ask you for a prediction. Obviously, I'm just you're the analyst for the game. But I will say this. The Vikings have been a team I've in my Blazing Five picks, I've just stayed away all year. I can't quite get a beat on them. They lose to the Cowboys, but then you watch them against Tampa, and if they had a kicker, they would have won that game. I mean, Tampa off a bye if they could hit field goals. So you live in Minneapolis. You read everything about them. You drive around. They're talking Vikings on talk radio. Give me a beat on them. What are they, and what are they not?
Well, I mean, the record speaks for itself. They are a team that is on the fence. all year long, I've kind of been in the same mindset about the Vikings as you. I haven't been able to put my finger or place my finger on what is it about this team that they haven't been able to be successful this year. Understanding that they're young in the secondary, they're young in the back half, and they don't have, you know, Danielle Hunter up front applying the pressure and all of those things. But Mike Zimmer has always showed the resolve to get that defense to be one of the top 10 defenses in all of football. That has not been the case. That is where they have hung their hat and made their hay, and they haven't been as great defensively all year. They have made stints where they've been great. Offensively, they've been on a roller coaster. With the exception of after these last 3 weeks, this bye, after their bye, Kirk Cousins has been really, really good. He's played winning football, and that's what has them in the position that they're in. However, when you are one way and teams see that, they approach you differently. They feel like, I can punch you in the mouth. And we'll see how you respond. Will you even respond? And what we saw against Tampa Bay, this was a team that went down and punched Tampa Bay in the mouth, but then special teams, another phase that is forever so important in the waning moments of the regular season, is and definitely in the playoffs when you look at the Vikings history, and it cost them. And so you have to be great in all three phases. You have to be solid. And the Vikings, they just haven't been collectively putting that complete game together all year.
Yeah, no, I thought they outplayed Tampa for long, certainly early in the game, and the special teams, Dan Bailey, cost them. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the NFL, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, good seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, certain teams, I feel this, I just don't have a beat on. Minnesota, I'll tell you another team, is I think I've once or twice this year I've taken them, is the Colts. I loved them against Green Bay. I thought I had a bad week that week, blazing five. That was my only winning game. But the Colts, to me, I'm not quite sure what I get week to week. And the Vikings, I'm not sure. That you go back and look at that Minnesota-Tampa Bay game. You hit your field goals. I think Minnesota wins that game. That's why it was so kind of discouraging if you were a Bucs fan. It was a win, but it felt so hollow. They got so many emotional breaks and special teams breaks. When a team misses a gimme field goal, you can just see it suck the life out of a football team. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Speaking of those Colts, they gave it to the Raiders last week, and now the Raiders need a win over the Chargers tonight to keep themselves in the AFC playoff race.
Love this.
They basically need to win out. This is the second time Vegas is facing Justin Herbert, and John Gruden has high praise for the rookie. He's everything you're looking for. Faced some tough moments. He's been hit. He's been behind and lost games in the last second. He's come back every single week, comes back strong. I think he's a superstar in waiting.
He makes it look, Justin Herbert, the first giveaway is good. Great players make it look easy. Watch his throwing motion. Now that one, he airs it out. But you'll see some of these throws. He moves well.
I think you could see it the first week with Herbert.
He just against right Kansas City. Just his movement is easy. God, he's got an arm. Lord, he's got an arm.
He's very fun to watch. He has 25 touchdown passes this season, so he needs three more to break Baker Mayfield's rookie touchdown record of 27. Herbert, in his first game against the Raiders, was 28-42, 326 yards, two touchdowns and no interceptions, but the Chargers lost 31-26. The game-winning touchdown was overturned on review, if you remember. The Raiders' defense, they fired their defensive coordinator, Paul Gunther, this week.
Yeah.
Rod Marinelli will finish out the season. They're not doing well. They're allowing the third most points per game, eighth most yards per game, eighth most passing yards per game, and they are tied for the second fewest sacks. They have no pass rush, only 15 sacks so far this season.
Well, they traded Khalil Mack. They haven't had a pass rush since, but they used those picks to hit some home runs. So they are predictably weak with pass rush. And to their credit, they have a lot of really good offensive players, and they're not paying most of them anything. So the trade gave them what they wanted. Gruden's an offensive coach. He had a quarterback. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to elevate the offense. He did. That's his side of the ball. But you give up Khalil Mack, and 2 years, 3 years later, you don't have a pass rush still.
I feel like we got a little bit excited about the Raiders.
Oh, I did. Last 2 years I have. I think I like the brand more than the team. I think it's Vegas.
It's very possible. You know what's funny about these two teams? We don't ever get the Las Vegas Raiders wrong. Every once in a while, we'll still slip into San Diego Chargers. But we very easily went to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, I think it feels... I mean, it was a perfect city for them.
They're, it's a great fit.
Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And the Raiders have always been sort of anti-establishment. A lot of these moves in the in football, like, I don't get them. That one is a home run.
I just can't wait till they can have fans in that stadium. It's going to be such a different experience playing there. So Baker Mayfield has been playing well recently and has led the Browns to a 9-4 record this season. And he says the confidence the team is gaining from their success is fueling his personal performance.
Playing with confidence is where I'm at my best. And so trusting these calls, trusting my eyes and going through it, and, you know, trusting my guys around me.
Their remaining schedule is at the Giants, at the Jets, and then the Steelers in the last week, which is the game that I'm looking forward
to
the most.
See, again, I think they match up with the Steelers fine.
Well, I think they'll win their next two, and then we'll be looking forward to a really big Week 17 matchup.
So you know why so many people that from Cleveland say they hate me, but I see how much they retweet and yell at me. Because deep down, it's hard to hate me because I picked you to beat the Ravens. I picked you to beat the Steelers. I picked you to beat the Titans. I'm fair. We won't think if I dumped on Cleveland for clicks every day. But the truth is, I think they match up well. I don't think they match up with Kansas City well. And I don't think they match up with Buffalo. Their back seven, especially their back seven's weak. And so Mahomes and Josh Allen, I don't think they actually match up with the Raiders at all. Remember, the Raiders took them apart. The Raiders, they don't have the personnel to stop like a Rudd or a Waller. They don't. If you have a good quarterback and a line that protects him, they're really vulnerable. But I think they match up with the Titans. I think they match up with a Miami okay. They're a team that, depending on the matchup, is going to end up winning a playoff game.
Also, Freddie Kitchens will be calling this game because offensive coordinator Jason Garrett has tested positive, so he will miss Sunday night's game against the Browns.
This is in the running for one of my Blazing Five picks, by the way. I have seven picks. I get down to five.
Finally, Taysom Hill got the Saints starting job over Jameis Winston when Drew Brees was injured this season, and he's done a good job of the team to a 3-1 record in Brees' absence. But even though Jameis is still the backup right now, Sean Payton said Jameis will get an opportunity to compete for the starting job whenever Drew Brees decides to retire.
All right.
Having looked at how Taysom Hill has played so far, if Drew Brees retired next year, and obviously we haven't seen anything from Jameis yet,
I'd play them both in the preseason and figure it out. I don't think Taysom Hill's a franchise quarterback. I do think Jameis Winston is a lower-end franchise quarterback. So I think we were both surprised when Taysom Hill got the nod. But as we've said before, unique works for a period.
Yeah.
And for four games, Taysom is a handful. But you're seeing with Taysom in the last 2 weeks, they've scored 21 points. So the output is coming down. So unique works, doesn't always last. I got the Taysom move. But if I went to camp and I'm asking myself, I would split the snaps and see who looks better, and I'd give them each two starts in the preseason.
I think the Saints are so interesting going into next year, just depending on what Drew Brees does. Could you see Drew coming back for another year?
No.
I just can't see it.
No, he's looked shot. In a weird way, the Bridgewater replacement in Taysom is what makes him work. He was so done. The year before last year, he was done by the end of the year.
This injury is just so different than last year. Like, this is a lot. He had, 11, 12 broken ribs?
God.
I can't even imagine, like, fracturing a finger.
Think about that. A broken rib. No. He had 11 of them.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Nope. News.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
I hand out my holiday presents for NFL stars and Best for Last coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, by the way, we will air our special Herd for the Holidays, I believe, this weekend. It airs many times, so you will be exceedingly over Joy and I by about Tuesday. As next week is Christmas week.
Yep. It's here.
So we work one day and Tuesday, and then we got some time off.
You do.
Oh, you guys don't? Oh, that's a bummer. So we thought today, some of my, it's Christmas time. I did some shopping a couple days ago. So some of the presents, Joy, I would hand out, as we roll toward the end of the NFL season. I'm in a giving mood.
Santa Colin.
Here we go. I'm going to hand out some presents.
All right. What gifts would you give the Steelers wide receiving corps?
I would give them glue sticks for their hands to help with drops. 37 drops this year is the most in the NFL.
Here's ridiculous.
Here's what's alarming. The only team to have 30-plus drops in the last 2 years, in fact, they've dropped 9.6% of their throws this year. That's a high percentage. The only team to drop 9% or higher in each of the last 2 years. So a glue stick.
What gift would you give Carson Wentz?
A seat cushion, because he's going to be riding the bench if Jalen Hurts' opening performance is any indication. It's not just that he's struggling, that nice picture, but his completion percentage, Joy, is 57%, and his passer rating 72. Like, that's worst in the league stuff, and the reality is 19 teams have fewer giveaways. Teams.
You got to hit up LeBron and get one of those cushions he has for the bench.
Bench, yeah.
It's huge. How about Patrick Mahomes? What's he getting?
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but how about a trophy case? Foxbet has him heavily odds-on favorite. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. First of all, you need a trophy case even if you have one. But when you're the favorite to win MVP and the Super Bowl, you got to have... And then, by the way, in about 6 years, he'll need to build a trophy room like Brady did after the Atlanta win.
What gift would you give Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski?
I think best friend necklaces. This is Baker's Aww. Third coach. And by the way, Baker, look at those beautiful bee friends. Baker's got his career high in wins, his career high in passer rating. Baker's passer rating's 97. That's a high-end passer rating. He's got the best TD interception ratio. Now, it does help, according to PFF. It's easily the best offensive line of Baker's career, but you got to give the front office and Stefanski some credit for that as well. So best friend necklace.
Do you guys do that?
I haven't.
You haven't?
But Goulet seems like the type of guy that would was really tight with...
I gave you one. You're not wearing it?
Okay.
What gift would you give Tom Brady?
Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. That's nothing against Bruce Arians, but he's 30-11. In the postseason with those guys. Doesn't that sound amazing to you? He's played 41 playoff games. He's won 30. And by the way, Peyton Manning and Big Ben were in their prime, and Mahomes was at the end of his AFC run. That's a stupid record.
What about Russell Wilson, your favorite?
Well, let me think about this. A sous chef. The number two chef in a kitchen. So Russ is the chef, but he needs a sous chef, a helper. Because the Seahawks have the highest passing percentage in the league, 61%. He's been sacked 40 times the second most. They have the worst passing defense, so they're always in shootouts. And oh, by the way, Chris Carson, who's a splendid running back, has missed 4 games. So he needs a little prep help in the kitchen, somebody to... You know, when he's frantic and there's big orders, just, you know, hey, can you give me a little heads up?
It's very thoughtful. You always have one person that you think a little bit more about their gift.
Yeah,
put a little more thought into.
That's how I roll.
How about Jerry Jones?
I do love Jerry. I may criticize him, but I do love him. You know what I'd like to get him? I'd like to give him a GM so he can retire from it. They've not drafted a Pro Bowl player in 4 years. They have $66 million wrapped up, running back, quarterback, and a wide receiver combo. He has served as the de facto general manager since purchasing the Cowboys in 1989. And they're 4-9 this year, and they have not reached the conference championship since 1995. By the way, he still would own the team.
Of course.
Just wouldn't be the general manager of the team. You know, it's funny about that. So, it's a pretty well-documented story that when Jimmy Johnson and Jerry, they played football or something at Oklahoma State. So he bought the team, called Jimmy, and flew him in, and they took the job. Jimmy was in Miami. And so, again, this is, I'm not breaking news here. So the first several years, Jerry didn't meddle. Jerry was at one side of the building because Jerry put a lot of money up and didn't, he was up against it. Like, this was not a, it was a cash flow issue. They were terrible. So Jerry was at one side of the building. Jimmy was doing the football, and Jerry never, ever bothered him in the first 2 to 3 years. They were both working 17 hours a day or more. So Jerry was doing business and operations and getting Pepsi deals and sweet sales. And for the first couple of years, they didn't see anything. And then Jimmy's just doing the football stuff. So it was really a good marriage. And then they start winning Super Bowls. And the business is now rolling. Jerry can spend a little less time on that. Charlotte's getting older. Stephen Jones, a family. He's got an infrastructure on the business side. And Jerry goes to Jimmy and says, listen, I own the team. I want to have some fun too. And that was the beginning of their problems. And that's when Jimmy said, listen, I'm a football guy. This is what I do. I'm going to, you know, Jimmy's like, I don't worry about your side. I don't want you worrying too much about our side. And whereas Jerry Jones did have an understanding of the Cowboys personnel to some level, he didn't really get NFL personnel. And so that was if you look at where it all went wrong, Jimmy and Jerry were on opposite sides of the building for a long time. When they started winning and the operations were now sort of in a groove and the money was flowing in, and Jerry's like, okay, I'm bored.
And, you know, Jimmy's getting a lot of credit.
A lot of credit. Listen, this is what always hurt the Lakers, is that Phil wanted credit and the players wanted credit and Riley wanted credit and Jerry West. It's okay. Like, these are successful men. This is why dynasties don't last long in sports. Men screw it up.
We do have those ego things to deal with every day.
I mean, I'm so glad I never got one. But from what I've heard, they're very difficult to deal
very
with.
Pesky.
Discovery Plus, all the shows you love, favorite brands like the Food Network and HGTV, and they have exclusive originals. It is a new streaming service. It's coming out next year. And I want to thank Greg Jennings, Greg Cosell, my friend Ryan Russillo. We will see you tomorrow. It just looks so sweatery, soup and sweatery on our set today. It's The Herd.